Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
He lied to bring down this Christian school. We're going to be talking about the situation on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, I think the bottom line here, this was a setup. This was really a setup to try to bring Liberty University down.
Yeah, Jonathan Zinsky deliberately lied to the nation's largest Christian university, Liberty University, when he applied for and accepted a job at the school's IT help desk. Now he's suing Liberty University to force the university to adopt the LGBTQ's non-biblical agenda. It was a setup from the beginning. The ACLU is now representing Zinsky, trying to force all Christian schools and universities and organizations, not just Liberty University, to abandon their biblical doctrine. Liberty Counsel, we are on the case, and we won't allow the ACLU scheme to succeed, so we have been involved in opposing this lawsuit. We have filed a motion to dismiss, and we just filed late last week a reply on our motion to dismiss this case. It is now filed in federal court, but the whole point is a setup, and the whole point that they want to do is to try to get this case up to likely the U.S. Supreme Court. That's why the ACLU is on it, and that's fine. You know, we've gone to the U.S. Supreme Court for many times. We have at least now 37 wins that we have argued or briefed before the United States Supreme Court, and we're ready to go again to make sure that Liberty University and other universities and Christian organizations, including churches, can continue to carry on their biblical doctrine and mission.
But the thing is, Matt, Jonathan Zinsky began taking female hormones 4 months before he applied for the job, knowing the mission and the Christian statement of Liberty University. So he took the job, he signed off on agreeing on the mission statement, and then, 10 days after his probationary period, he says, "Whoops, sorry, I decided I'm going to be a woman, and I want you to call me Eleanor, and I'm going to start dressing like a woman."
Yeah, he admitted that he had been deceiving the Christian university and demanded that the university abandon its doctrine and thus allow him to dress like a woman and be called Eleanor at work, and for the university's health care benefits to cover the female hormones and the impending surgery that he apparently intended to do. So, yeah, 4 months before he applied, he's going through these female hormones. He applies to be an IT help desk specialist at Liberty University, in which that job requires him to interact with students via electronic communication, to work with their laptops, their computers, to troubleshoot, to get them set up on the university system. So he'd be working directly with students across the nation.
But he signed an agreement. "I agree with the Christian mission of the school."
Yeah, and the university, and this I think is really important for Christian organizations, has a very specific, strong doctrinal position. So churches, religious organizations, listen to this. It's not a matter of if you're going to be challenged. It's only a matter of when you're going to be challenged. So you need to get your organization set up properly so that your doctrinal positions and statements are clear and they're articulated to your staff so that they know your doctrinal positions. Liberty University did that. And so their doctrinal positions were clear that God created male and female, just male and female.
You're one or the other.
You're one or the other.
You don't change that.
And it's not biblical to consider anything else.
Right.
God created male and female in his image, and that marriage is the union of one man and one woman.
And Liberty University is a Christian university, so you would considered a minister, so to speak,
That's right.
to students.
Yeah, and it's very clear about the doctrinal position, the doctrinal statement, particularly on this and other issues. And so he signed off on that, and he knew that he was lying because he could not sign off on the idea that there's only two genders, two sexes, male and female created at birth, and you can't be changing. You can't decide that you're going to just quote-unquote transition to some other new sex or gender, whatever term you want to use. He knew what their position was. He signed off on it, and he intentionally lied. And his lie is even more revealed when he waited for his 90-day probationary period to expire, and then 10 days after that, he drops the bomb, meant to execute his plan. He sends a letter to the school and admits that he had been deceiving the university, that he had been taking hormones for 4 months before he even began his employment.
Right. And from a legal perspective, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, Liberty University has the right to uphold its sincere Christian religious beliefs and doctrinal statements and to require its employees to do the same.
Yeah, that's right. And so we are defending Liberty University on the basis of the First Amendment, that you have the First Amendment religious freedom right and the ministerial exception. Liberty University has the right to be able to hire and terminate those that are consistent with or inconsistent with their doctrinal position.
Right. It's like you're not going to hire an atheist to work at the church.
Right.
Right?
And that makes sense. And so Title VII is the same way, because Title VII has a provision that you can't discriminate on the basis of certain categories, including race and sex, as well as religion. But as it relates to religious organizations, if you impose that on them, Title VII gives an exemption, because otherwise you would have churches, as you said, would have to hire someone that is contrary to their belief.
Right.
Catholics would have to hire Protestants, for example. Like a Catholic church would perhaps be forced to hire a Protestant pastor or an atheist pastor.
It totally
or
goes
a Jewish
against your
rabbi,
mission, yeah.
Or, you know, a Muslim imam. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Your religious freedom goes out the window.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, even places like at in a different scenario, like Epcot as an example. How is it that they're able to hire in the Epcot, where they have the Italian place and they have the German place and they have the French place, people that are Italians, people that are Germans, and people that are French.
That speak that language. Well, the same thing in the religious context. You want people that speak and believe that same language, that same mission.
Now, they have a different exemption called the bona fide occupational requirement. That's an occupational requirement that if you now had a wide variety of people that could say, well, I'm discriminated against because I'm not French, I'm not Italian, I'm not German, and I didn't get hired. Exactly. It's exactly right. You didn't get hired because of that. Why? Because if they have a theme that is specific to their organization, to their employment, they have a right to have a bona fide occupational requirement.
It's a prerequisite of the job description.
Right. And so in churches, you have a religious freedom component and a Title VII component that you, too, have the right to control your staff to be consistent with who you are. Otherwise, you would have churches that would be sued because they're not hiring atheists, or someone becomes employed and then they say, well, I'm an atheist now, or someone becomes employed and say, I no longer believe in your doctrine. Well, the churches and other religious organizations have a right to say, well, okay, then we have a right to let you go because that's not consistent with our doctrine. But here, the ACLU wants to override that. And that's why many legal scholars are closely watching this case, because it has the potential to set major precedent for the nation. And this is just the tip of the spear where the LGBTQ agenda collides with religious freedom. This case could go up to the United States Supreme Court. It's at the lower court right now in Lynchburg, Virginia. We have moved to dismiss it under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which is the employment law. And also, we are asking for the First Amendment religious free exercise as a defense. And we're also asking for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is a federal law, very strong religious freedom law, that says that no federal law can be used to burden religious free exercise. And this being a federal law, Title VII, Zinsky and the ACLU are suing under Title VII. They're using the federal courts. We argue that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act should also apply. So for those three reasons, we are defending this because it is a very significant case that could not only affect Liberty University, but every Christian university and college, but beyond them, every church, every Christian organization in the country.
Absolutely. So please pray for this case. It's monumental.
The case is called Zinski, Z-I-N-S-K-I, versus Liberty University. Zinski versus Liberty University. It's a setup, but Liberty University and Liberty Council defending them is standing strong, and we will continue to stand for these Christian, Judeo-Christian values. For more information, visit Liberty Council's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.